being recorded on Saturday, the 22nd of February, 2003. We're at the home of Christine Junt, and we'll be doing the interview, and she'll be giving us all the information. Okay, Christine, give me your name and what your maiden name was.
Christine Grohl.
What was your husband's name?
Thomas Pius Junt.
Okay. And what is your address here in Rugby?
410 4th Street Southeast.
And your phone number?
7765-665.
Okay. And what is the date of your birth? Give me the month and the day and the year that you were born.
November the 10th, 1909.
Okay, and where were you born?
On the farm, 10 miles south of Rugby.
Okay, what is the date of your marriage? When did you get married?
October the 5th, 1934.
Okay, what is your father's name?
Clemens Gross.
Okay. When was he born? Do you remember the month or the year?
Let's see, in 94 he was 19. He must have been born in 1872.
1872. And where was he born? Where was your father born?
Monheim.
Okay. What is your mother's name and her maiden name?
Catherine Lear Gross.
Okay. What's her birth date?
When was Mom's birthday?
Do you know where she was born?
She was born in Elsass, Russia. Okay.
What was your occupation? I know you were a wife and mother, but you were also doing something else here in town.
School cook.
Mm-hmm. How many years did you do that?
22 and a half.
Was it all at Little Flower?
Yes.
All at Little Flower. Okay. What did your father do for a living?
He was a farmer.
Okay. And you have, I see you have some family books there. What's the name of them?
One from the Gross family and one from the Lear. That's my uncle and aunt.
And these people on here?
Yes, this was his first wife, and this was his second wife and her sister.
That's your mother's brother?
My mother's brother and my dad's sister.
Mm-hmm. And that's on the Lear family. Do you have anything on the Gross family?
Yeah, this book here is from the Gross family.
Okay. Brother Placid did that, hmm?
Uh-huh.
Now, your father in this book then too?
Yeah, there must be. Let me see, it's about in here someplace. Andrew. It's my dad's brother. Well, where are you, Dad? Here's my folks. They were married in 1900.
June 18th. Well, why don't you read? Read this to me.
start here.
Yeah.
They
were married.
Clements and Catherine were married June the 18th, 1900 at St. Anthony Church.
I see by Father Singer. Father Stephen Singer.
Stephen Singer.
Just read that out loud, that little bit here. Would you do that?
Father Stinger lived at the Celts, which is now Hague Church, and had St. Anthony's as a mission. Witnesses to the marriage were Anton Buckmeyer and Maria Bitz. This was a double wedding, with Clement's sister Caroline marrying Catherine's brother Joseph.
Okay. Now let's go back to what are the names of your mother's mother and father? Your mother's
mother's folks.
Mm-hmm.
It was Christian Lear, and grandma was Christine Laternus.
Mm-hmm. Do you know their birthdays? Your mother's. Your mother's parents? That goes back a little ways. Do you have that?
I don't think I have that.
What were the names of your father's parents, your father's mother and father?
The father was John Ross. And
your grandma's name was?
Benedicta.
And what was her maiden name?
Baron.
Oh. Where were they born?
They were all born in Russia.
Mm-hmm. Do you, were they farmers when they lived in Russia, do you know? Your grandparents?
Grandpa Lear was a tavern owner.
Oh.
The Vinshenki called it. And the Father John was a farmer.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to know your grandparents very well?
My grandparents?
Mm-hmm.
Just my grandfather, John.
On your dad's side?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did the others had all died by the time you came along? Is that?
No, just Grandma Lear had died.
Mm-hmm.
But Grandma Gross was an invalid. She was bedridden, I think, for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
She was almost completely paralyzed due to those days they called it remedies.
Rheumatism?
It would be like arthritis now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you ever hear anything about any stories they told when they came across in the ship?
Yes, Grandma's ship was very exciting. They, you know, those days they had no way of calling for help or anything. And I don't know why they had the gumption to come. Anyway, they were about halfway over when they got hit by an iceberg. It made a hole in the one end of the ship. And they couldn't repair us, you know, swimming around the ocean. So everybody that could, even like my mother was 12 years old, she had to take her turn too. They bailed out water, begging for more help. And they all had received the last rites. And they sang hymns and prayed. And for, I think, 11 days, she said, or almost between 11 and 12 days, they just did that, floated around the water and prayed and sang and just bailed out water, begging for more time. And one day a fishing vessel came close enough and the man that run it said, "That ship over there has trouble. I've been watching it. They're not going anyplace. They're just floating around. I'm going to go and see." So they came towards them, and then of course they got excited, they waved with everything they could, and he got close enough that they could talk. And he said, "We're so little, I can't pull you. I don't know what if I can do anything for you. Maybe we can take some of the children in our little boat." It was a fishing vessel, and I don't know how big. So he said, "Wait a minute, I have another idea." He said, "If you are willing to give up everything you have," everybody had trunks, you know, they could bring so much. They had hardware, all kinds of wrenches, you know, and equipment, and all the kettles and dishes and books, a lot of books, my mother said. They threw everything down, their heavy winter clothes, everything went down the ocean. And he said, "Now we'll take all the boats, your boats and my boats, and tie them with ropes and chains onto my vessel. And the men have to go in the boats and help row. And I will open it wide open, and I think we can move." So he pulled them to the shore, saved them all.
Oh my God.
And my mother said, "We didn't even cry for the stuff we had to throw in the ocean. We were just thinking of our lives." And that's how they got here.
Do you remember the name of that ship that they were on?
No. I don't think it would be in here.
And do you know that the year or the time of the year that they came over?
It might tell us something in this book, I don't know.
Well, did you do anything at home that you're still doing in your family? I mean, like your prayers or your Christmas or your names day, anything that you did at home, are you still doing that now?
Not an awful lot. There's so few of us, and we're not together a lot, you know.
What type of a house did you live in when you were a child? Was it a country home, big home, small home?
It was a country home. It had, let's see, one, two big rooms upstairs, three rooms. Two big ones and a small one. And then the front room and the bedroom. Big kitchen.
Do you have a summer kitchen?
Summer kitchen. A very nice summer kitchen.
Outdoor toilet?
Mm-hmm.
Did you live on that same farm all the while from the time you were born until you moved off yourself?
Yeah.
So you stayed there pretty much?
Yeah.
And then, how was your home heated? How did you heat the whole house?
For the first years, we had a big furnace in the front room.
We'll have to wait here a minute. Okay, we're back again, and we were talking about how you heated your
oh,
home.
We had this big hard coal furnace in the front room.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cook stove in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So we were quite comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad wanted to get off the coal as fast as he could. One day he had it so hot in the house that the candles melted.
Did you?
Then we put in a furnace in the basement.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a cook stove? That's where your mother cooked on?
Yeah.
Was on the cook stove? What did she use in that, wood or coal or?
Both.
Used both.
Wooden coal and corn cobs.
Okay, who had to chop the wood? Your dad or your brothers or?
I think they all helped.
Yeah. Did you use candles or kerosene lights? For lights.
Kerosene lamps, and we had two big gasoline lamps.
Mm-hmm.
And mantles, you remember them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you have a cellar in your house?
Oh yeah, full cellar.
And is that where you put your canned food? Did you have
the canned
potatoes
food, and it had a, the cellar had another opening to the west dug out, and that was the fruit hole.
Mm-hmm.
The vegetables mm-hmm. went in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the pickles and the sauerkraut in barrels and barrels and crocks and wine. Like I said, a lot of wine. We lived right by the highway. People stopped when they went to Rigby, stopped on their way home to tell us what they saw in town. And everybody that stopped had to have a glass of wine.
Why, sure. What about water? Did you have water in the house, or did you have to go outside to
we
the well?
Had a well outside.
You did. Did you have a lot of water?
Yeah,
you did.
A lot of good water. The first years, I remember, we had a duck well and a wooden windmill that had gotten trees from over by the river and made his own windmill. And then when I was maybe about 8 or 9, we had a well dug and had a real windmill on it.
Oh, wow. Who taught you how to cook?
My mother.
Did you? What are some of the things that she taught you how to make?
Well, the first thing was, no, Dad taught me how to bake bread. Mother got called to Napoleon because somebody was sick. And she said, oh, I can't go. I was going to bake bread tomorrow and, you know, haven't got things prepared. Dad said, you just go. That's more important. We'll get along. So the next day he said to me, you and I are going to bake bread today. So he told me exactly how to do it. And then we baked bread together and it got fairly good. And then after a few days I thought, I don't need Dad, you know, he showed me how to do it. And I baked bread of my own. I don't think the dogs liked it.
It wasn't quite as easy as it looked.
It was heavy. Well, Ma figured out that I must have had the yeast too hot, and the yeast never worked.
Mm.
And anyway, we got by. And the boys teased me about that bread all their life. And Mary was just a little younger than I. She never even looked. See how to bake bread. They never teased her.
Did you ever make your own clothes? Did
yeah.
you ever sew your own clothes?
Uh huh. I did.
Did you learn how to crochet or knit or anything
no,
like that?
No, I didn't have time for that because the boys were playing baseball and they needed a help.
Your mail, did you have the mail delivered right there to your farm, or did you have to go?
For a long time we had to go a mile east to get our mail.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on they changed the route and then we got it right by the farm.
When you were still home, what did you do evenings?
Some played cards. Dad was a card player. He would help with the supper dishes, so play cards. And a lot of us read. We did a lot of reading.
Did you listen to the radio much? Or
well, we didn't have a radio the first years.
Mm-hmm. And your father, you said, was a farmer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When did you get your first job? What was your first job? Not at home, but like, did you go to the neighbors to help?
Away from home?
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, I suppose when I helped my sister, when I babysat for her.
Mm-hmm. Did your family have any fruit trees?
We had berries, gooseberries and currants.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all.
What kind of things did you can?
All, any fruit that you could get in the store. And a lot of the vegetables, like green beans and things like. My mother had, she must have had right close to 200 jars, and she wasn't happy unless they were full.
Did you can chicken then, or did you just butcher the chicken and eat it right away.
We can't, I don't remember canning chicken. We canned meatballs and sausage and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. You raised chickens, a lot of them?
A lot of chickens.
Turkeys?
Turkeys.
Geese?
Ducks. Geese. Guineas.
Did you pick the geese then?
Mm-hmm.
Make nice pillows?
Yeah, I still have two feather pillows.
What about, did your mother ever make a feather tick?
Yeah.
A quilt?
Yeah, she had a big feather tick.
Yeah. Show me how she picked the down off the geese.
Take the wings, fold them in under, she'd hold them with this hand, and she could pick them. She'd pick about four or five till I picked one.
Did she put the head under the arm?
Yep.
And I think they all did it pretty much the same. What kind of meat did you usually eat? Was it mostly pork or beef or chicken or what?
At home. Oh, pretty much equal, I think, pork and beef, mm-hmm. and then a lot of chicken. Mm-hmm. We ate all the guineas.
Did you drink a lot of milk?
Mm-hmm.
And you made your own butter?
Own butter.
And cheese?
Cottage cheese. And own mozzarella cheese. And own yellow cheese.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any hired men, or did your brothers do the work?
For harvest, we had from 2 to 4 hired men, and then for threshing, we had a bunch.
What did you normally do on Saturdays?
Clean the house and bake bread and bake cookies and cake.
And then what did you do on Sunday?
Went to church, and as a rule, I spend the afternoon cooking supper for the company.
And you went to church on Sundays, though, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Where did you go to church when you were still at home?
Balta.
And the name of that church was? What was the name of the Balta church?
Good heavens, don't I know that?
Our Lady of Mount Carmel?
Yeah.
Yeah. How far did you live from the church?
About between five and six miles.
And then you drove a car over, or horses, or?
Yes. I remember some winters going with the sleigh,
mm-hmm.
half roast when we got there. And
what did you, what kind of presents did you get at Christmas time? What was it like for Christmas? What did you do at your house when you were home yet?
Mm-hmm. I get something, maybe like a nice purse or a string of pearls or a new dress or, you know, things.
Did you have a Christmas tree? And
yeah, we had a...
Did you have a Belzenegger?
Belzenegger.
What did he do?
He scared the living daylights out of us.
Were you mean?
No.
Then he didn't do anything to you, huh?
No. Uh-uh.
Did he do anything to anybody else in the family?
One time he scared Johnny. He had his little tree branch ready to whip him a little, and Johnny ran upstairs and got under the bed.
He was really scared.
Yeah.
What about, how was he dressed? What did he have on?
He had a sheepskin coat inside out. So.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what he had on his head. He was carrying a chain,
uh-huh.
and a rope. And then the little stick, it was a tree branch, as I remember.
What about the Dishkin? How was she dressed?
She had veils over her head and over her body, and she was carrying gifts, and she had a funny screechy voice.
But Belzenegger never gave you any presents though, huh?
No.
Just the Grishkin?
Just the Grishkin.
And what kind of stuff did she give you?
I don't know, a bag. Usually a little basket full of
goodies.
Candy and stuff?
Candy and stuff.
Okay. How did you keep cool in the summertime when you were home in your house?
Well, we did all the cooking in the summer house, so the house stayed nice and cool.
Mm-hmm. I suppose if they pulled the shades and did all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any blizzards or bad thunderstorms that come that you can remember?
Oh yeah, we had a lot of blizzards, a lot of big snow banks. Boys would, after the highway got through there, the boys were busy when there was a storm pulling cars through the snow banks.
Yeah.
And some people couldn't make it all the way home and they'd stay overnight. One time we had 8 people sleeping there through the storm.
Yeah, you were just right off the highway then, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was number 3 for you, where you lived. Yeah. What did you do for playing at home, when you were at home? What kind of games did you play, or did you... You said you read a lot?
Mm-hmm.
In the evenings, you did a lot of reading?
Yeah.
What kind of things did you read? Were they books or magazines?
Yeah, no, mostly books.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who was your best friend?
Della Tarvestit.
Mm-hmm. What did you do? What kind of games did you play when you got together? You and Della.
We didn't play games, I don't think.
Okay. You just visited.
Yeah.
Did you ever learn to swim?
No. Tried a few times.
Where did you go to school?
Country school.
And where was that?
About a mile and a half west of where we lived.
Mm-hmm. And that was a one-room schoolhouse,
one
right?
One-room school.
Okay. How did you get to school? Did you walk, or?
Well, if it was nice, we walked.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't nice, either Dad or the neighbor would give us a ride.
And how many were usually walking? Was there more from your family, that 3-4 of them from your family?
4 of us, mm-hmm, to start with, and then the boys graduated, so then it was down to 2 of us. When it was still 3 of us, it was kind of nice that morning, and we didn't want to wear our jackets. The Ma said, "You wear your jackets, it's still winter." So we wore our jackets. Tarvestit had a fence in between the school and our house. So we got there, we took off our jackets and hung them on the fence posts. It so happened Dad drove by that day and recognized those jackets and took them. So we come home and we were all ready to eat supper, the phone rang. Dad went to answer the phone and we could tell it talked about something very serious. And he hung up and he looked at Ma and he shook his head and he said, "There's something bad going on around the country." This was Tarvestit, and he said he has 2 very sick cows and he's afraid he can't save them. He wants me to come and help. So, well, what's the matter? Well, he thinks they ate something because one of them had something in her mouth and it was cloth. And of course we all started to cry, John and Mary and I. Left the room. They had a scoring, you know. Then the next morning, Ma told us, "Dad's got your jackets on in the car. Get them, put them on."
Oh, he knew how to get you, didn't he? Oh, where did your parents do their shopping?
Was it in Balta? Grocery shopping, they mostly did in Balta, and we had a little country store.
Oh, you did?
About 3 miles west, Brazil.
Oh.
And it was a nice old couple, and they shopped there some just to help those old people.
What do you remember about Brazil?
It was a nice little store. And we could stop there and buy candy on the way over to my sister. She lived on the other side. And this two old Dr. Fox's uncle and aunt
went out. Who owned that store in Brazil? Do you remember?
Yeah, this Dr. Fox.
Oh, did. They owned it. Oh, okay. That's where my folks got married, was in Brazil.
Oh, really?
Was there a church there?
No.
Must have been Balta then.
Country church south of Brazil, yeah.
Yeah. Because on their wedding certificate, it says that, you know, Brazil, North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. When you didn't go shopping in Balta, did you go shopping in Rugby then, or Minot?
Rugby, and once in a while in Harvey.
In Harvey. Did you ever go to Minot or Bismarck or?
Not for shopping.
Yeah, that was quite a ways away. When you were young, did you ever get on the train, go for a train ride anywhere?
I used to a couple times when I went to school at Grand Forks. I'd come home on the train or go back down on the train.
Did your family have a horse and buggy?
Oh yeah.
Did they?
Two buggies, a single and a double.
Do you remember what year you got that your dad got a first car? What make it was?
It was a Chevy, and it was in 1914.
Did you learn to drive it?
No, not that one, huh? I learned a few years later.
Yeah.
I went for a ride sometimes with one of the boys or with Dad. And one time him and I drove down the pasture with the truck, fooling around a while, and then he started walking home and he said, bring the truck when you come. I said, I can't. He said, well, how do you know you can't when you haven't tried? Bring it home. And he kept going. So I thought, okay, Dad, you asked for it. If I smash it, it's your fault. So I drove it home, and from that time on, then I knew I could drive.
Yeah, when there's nobody beside it to make you nervous, then you can do it.
Yeah.
We'll take a break now. Okay, Christine, well, let's go through your family members. Who is the oldest in your family?
Caroline.
And who was she married to?
She was married to Joe Schmaltz.
Okay, and then who was the next oldest?
Next was Joe.
And who was he married?
He was married to Elizabeth Bush.
Okay.
And then was Walter. He was married to Mabel Larris. And then Johnny was married to Ann Tuchscher. And I married Tom Junt. And my sister Mary was the baby, and she married James Fitzpatrick.
Is Mary still living?
No.
Are you the only one left?
I'm the only one left.
Wow, you're tough.
Well, I think I'm so mean they don't want me in the other place.
Well, we'll see. We're glad that you're still here with us. You still have some things that you had left to do. We had to take a break, and we're going to try and get back on track again here. Where did you meet Tom?
Well, when they came to our church, we'd see each other every Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And sort of smile at each other for a long time before we talked. Then we started going to parties and dances together. And
when did you get married?
In 31.
What month?
No, 32.
What month?
October.
October.
And we went to Chicago to the World's Fair and stayed a year.
Wow. What did you do there?
We, after we went to the fair, maybe 2 weeks straight, every day and every evening, I never wanted to see another fair. And then we moved back up to Milwaukee. And there he got a job working for A.O. Smith, making car bodies and things like that. So when spring came, all he could talk about is now we would have the little chicks And now the little pigs would go, yeah, yeah. So one day I said, Tom, you want to go home, don't you? He said, oh, I want to go home so bad. So we packed up and came home.
What was Tom's mother and dad's name?
Michael Junt.
Uh-huh.
And grandma's name was Agatha.
Oh, okay. When we were talking, Christine, we were talking about your mother came over on the ship?
Mm-hmm. The ship that got hit by an
iceberg. Tell us about that story about when your mother came over to America.
They were a little more than halfway over when they got hit from this big iceberg that came in from the north and made a big hole in the front of the ship. There was no way they could repair it and no way they could call for help. So they just decided everybody available has to bail water. They had to take their turns. Mother was 12, and she had to take her turn with a smaller pail, and they scooped, and they got the last rites, and they prayed, and they sang. They were prepared to die. When this smaller ship, a fishing vessel, my mother always called it, this captain saw them, and he said to his crew, that ship over there has trouble. I've been watching them. They're not sailing. They're just floating around. We got to go in closer and see what we can do. So he came over and he looked at him and he said, I'm sorry, we are so small. I can't pull you. I don't know what we could do. And he thought it over and he thought, would you be willing to give up all your property you took along? Well, sure they were, you know, to save their lives. So they threw everything over. Everybody had, they could bring so many boxes and trunks and stuff. And they had like dishes and kettles and hardware from the shop. Books, a lot of books, my mother used to say, and they were heavy. So everything went down into the water. All they had left is what they had on. They had heavy winter clothes they had brought along, and all that went into the water. And then this man said, well, now we'll take down our boats and your boats, sort of life-saving boats they had on the outside, and the men have to get in there, and they have to row and row and row, and I will give my engine full speed, and I think we can make it. And that way, I think it took him 5 days, but he got him out to where, when they saw land, I guess they all collapsed and cried.
How did they get food? How did they eat, or what did they eat during that time?
They had food along on the ship, and they had it was rationed out enough so that it would have lasted, you know, till they got there. But then this man on the fishing vessel, they had extra food and they shared it.
Do you know, did that ship eventually sink, the one they were on?
I don't know. My mother didn't know. She said it was pulled up to the beach, and from there on they didn't know what happened to it.
Yeah. Do you know how many days they were on the ship before this happened? Were they on like the first day or the second day?
No, it was about the seventh day.
Uh-huh.
And altogether it was 23 days they were on the water.
Wow.
When I think that they had enough gumption to come over here when they knew they could never call for help if anything went wrong.
That's what you call being a tough German, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Do you know any other stories about your parents? Your dad? Or?
Well, they came to Ellis Island, and then I don't know how they traveled. Was that by train or what? That I don't know. And they went to Eureka, South Dakota. And then from there, they knew some friends that had come over a little earlier in the Napoleon area.
Oh.
So somebody picked them up and gave them rides to Napoleon. And then They met each other there. My dad was a labor man then. He worked for farmers. He worked south of Hertzfield. He was the head man on that big Irish farm because he stayed 3 years. So he got top wages. He got $40 a year.
Wow.
He said he bought a pair of mittens and a pair of shoes, and the rest of the money he gave to Dad so they could buy coal for the winter.
Oh.
And then, anyway, they met then and they got married. And my mother's folks had come up to Bloomfield by then, and they kept saying, "It's so pretty up here, it's so beautiful, why don't you come?" So then they decided to move up to north of Orne.
Uh-huh.
And there my father, he had a lot of sheep. He was a sheep herder, and he was a rural mail carrier on a little brown pony. And my mother couldn't take it there. She said one day she would clean the little house. They put up a sod house then. One day she'd clean it, and the next day the sand was a half an inch thick all through the house. And she said if it was a little windy, you couldn't go outside because the sand blew into your eyes. So she said, "I'm not going to stay here. If you want to stay, that's your business, but I won't." So then Dad came over this far looking for a place, and he bought the farm.
Were you born already then when they were living
no,
in the sod house?
I was born about 2 years later.
Oh. Uh-huh. Did you ever get back to see that sod house?
Yes, when I went over there, there was still one wall sitting, and never took a picture of it.
But it's not up anymore.
No, it's not up anymore now.
Yeah. You had talked a little bit, about the iron crosses. And you said your dad has an iron cross at Balta?
My grandfather.
Your grandfather, okay. And then your brother is buried there too?
My brother is
Walter.
Buried next to grandfather. And my parents are right there too, all in the same.
And then there was an iron cross on your brother's grave?
Uh-huh. And we didn't think that was right. We thought that was, I don't know why. Looked like we didn't care, we thought. So I mentioned it to my brothers. I said, "Don't you think we should chip together and buy Walter a stone?" Yeah, that's one thing we could do for him. So we did. And then the cross laid there. What should we do with it? And Joe Smoltz was down with the pickup. So they put it on his pickup. He took it home and laid it on the other side of the garden. And there it's been laying all these years. So one night I thought about this cross, and I thought, it's not doing any good out there. It must be in the grass and weeds by now. Why don't we do something about it? So I called Carol, and I said, "You know, that cross belongs to us. It belongs to the family, not to the cemetery or anything. We have a right to do with it whatever we want. And I got a feeling we should try to sell it. And if we get a few dollars for it, we'll give that money to the Balta Church, because my folks have a window that they had bought when the church was built, and it needs redoing." And I said that would be a little help to get that window fixed. So she said, "That's a good idea. I'll talk to the boys." So she called Clem. Clem said, "Well, yeah, it's something to think about. It's doesn't do anybody any good laying out there." Took a few days when Father or Monsignor Joe Singer had this letter about his trip, and then he said, "I'm all ready. I've got everything in order for my trip home. And I have a little stone, but I'm not happy with it. I would so like, I want an iron cross so bad that I hurt. Where could you get one these days?" And Glenn thought, "Oh my gosh, there goes the cross." So he called Monsignor and he said, "I have to look at it. I haven't seen it for a few years. If it's still in good shape, it's yours. You want it?" "Oh, I want want it. If it isn't in good shape, I'll put it in good shape. I want it. He said, I don't know, this is more of a Christmas day than anything else. I'm so happy right now. He said he was just beside himself, and we were too. And I got thinking, God must have wanted Monsignor to have that cross. Because why did it all fall in line like
sure,
that?
Sure. It sounds like it. And it's going to a good place too. It's going to go to somebody that appreciates that.
Yeah. So all he has to do is take the nameplate off and
sure.
put his on. And so they're going to do that as soon as
yes.
spring opens.
Some of those iron crosses, there is a cemetery south and east of Balta. We were out there, and they've got some beautiful iron crosses there. You know, the different designs and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Some of those, oh, that was such a special talent those people had when they made them.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, to know how to curl it and up and around and all
and
the different designs.
Go to a cemetery and look at them all. You know, they didn't have a pattern. They just, whatever come to my mind, and there's so many beautiful ones. Mm,
there really are. That was a good part of our life that those people did that, because
mm-hmm.
it's like a memorial to them, even if it is for our family, it's still a memorial to the person that made it.
Yeah, yeah.
We were talking about some of the different medicines that you used to have in your family. What were some of the medicines that your mother had, either to take or to put on, or?
Well, like I think I told you, the main healer was the camellia tea that cured everything.
Mm-hmm.
And kerosene was used a lot when we got wire cut or something. Kerosene just healed it.
You put a poured kerosene over it?
Yeah, or put some in a pan
right.
and set your foot in, whatever you
uh-huh.
had hurt. And it healed it. And the liniment was used an awful lot.
But